Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And we're getting ready to talk about Shemitah. And this is is a Sabbath year. In the Sabbath year, there's an agricultural cycle that's mandated by the Torah. We're supposed to give the land rest. Mm-hmm. And we're going to find out that if you don't rest, you will rest.
One way or the other.
You are going,
chosen.
Yeah, you're going to rest. And we want you to listen as Pat Robinson interviews Jonathan Kahn, and he begins to detail and how he got this revelation and some of the things that are about to come. Really exciting, to say the least. You want to be aware. Watch this.
And fall of nations, economic recession, financial collapse, and your future. Take a look.
The crash of the New York Stock Exchange. The Great Depression. The attacks of 9/11. Are all events that were predicted centuries ago. Jonathan Kahn says that the scriptures are in line with these events and are determining America's financial future. His book, The Mystery of the Shemitah, explains these revelations and shares the secrets to achieving economic prosperity in America.
Jonathan Kahn is here with us today. Jonathan, I'm so glad to see you again.
Oh,
God bless
great
you.
Great to be back, Pat.
God bless you.
My blessing.
I love the harbinger. It was right on point. It was so dramatic and did so well. Now you've written one called The Mystery of the, what is it, Shemitah?
Yes.
What is the Shemitah?
The Shemitah, and this is a book I didn't plan to write.
Okay.
But it just, there's so much in it. The Shemitah is one of the mysteries that begins with the harbinger. And it is one that is literally determined the rise and fall of Wall Street. The rise and fall of nations. It is coming soon. The next one is coming, is happening. It has affected our lives, every one of our lives, from the moment we were born. That's what kind of blew me away. The Shemitah is the Sabbath year in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that every 7 years, God said you will have a rest, and there's no buying, no sowing, no reaping. And on the last day of the Shemitah, is the climax. It's called Elul 29. On that day, all debts are wiped out, all credits wiped out. It literally wipes the financial slate. It just completely clean. And the thing is, the amazing thing is, that this mystery has continued into the modern times. It is operating.
Let me, what's the start date? How do you figure the start?
Of the Shemitah?
Of the cycle.
Okay, the cycle, well, it goes back from ancient times. Uh-huh. The rabbis have taken it even from the destruction of the temple.
Okay.
And so it's been so they know when it is. And it's observed in Israel all the time, continuously.
When did it start?
Well, the last one was 2007 and 2008.
Well, I mean, way back when.
At least from it comes from Moses. It comes from Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
I mean, and this was given to Israel. And in fact, this became, here's the thing, that this was to be a blessing. But when Israel turned away from God, mm-hmm. the Shemitah turns from a blessing to a sign of judgment on a nation that has driven God out of its life.
Well, you've got 7 years in the Shemitah, then you've got 50 years for the Jubilee.
Yes. One of the mysteries in the book is called The Mystery of the Seventh Shemitah. When you get to the seven Shemitahs, you have a mega Shemitah, which is the Jubilee.
Okay.
And actually, even that is part of it, too, because there's one of the mysteries called The Mystery of the Seventh Shemitah that actually is linked to Israel and Jerusalem, even the return of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And the next pattern of that is coming very shortly. We are actually at the beginning of a Shemitah very soon. In fact, this month, within 2 weeks, it begins. And the thing is that when Israel was destroyed in 586 BC, God said it was based on this thing called the Shemitah. They were in Babylon for 70 years based on the Shemitahs, the 70 years they didn't observe. So the Shemitah not only affects the financial realm, the economic realm, but also literally is linked to the destruction of nations or the rise of nations.
Well, now, in your harbinger, you showed clearly how the United States was tied into the harbinger. I mean, there was no question with all the various signs.
Yes.
How come the Shemitah affects the Gentiles instead of the Jews, or does it affect the whole world?
Yeah, well, it's not that. I would say the whole world. But, well, one, we're under the new covenant, and And we are not, the first thing is that you know, literally God is able to use a biblical pattern to send a message to a nation, any nation. Now America, well, actually the Shemitah affects America and affects the world. Let me give you an example. All right. If you look at the greatest financial collapses in modern times, I mean, long-term, Great Depression, Great Recession, are any of them linked to the Shemitah? The answer is the majority of them. The majority of the collapses happen in the year of the Shemitah.
Like the crash of the Great Depression?
That one as well, yes, and the Great Recession. It's amazing. I'll give you another. In the last 40 years, there have been five major financial collapses, long-term collapses, ups and downs. And every single one of them happens linked to the Shemitah, every single one, linked by this seven-year mystery. If you take, for instance, you take the greatest day crashes, single day crashes in Wall Street, and the percentage crashes, and there, do any of them happen at the time of in the Shemitah? There's a month called Tishri, which you know, which that's the month when all these things are manifested. The majority of them happen all in this one month or cluster around this month. A majority of them. If you take, for instance, you notice, Pat, that financial analysts have been always puzzled that these great collapses seem to happen around October and September. Yeah. Well, they've been mystified. There's a reason. In the Bible, that is the exact time. It's the month of Tishri, which manifests this collapse in the Bible.
And you're supposed to, you know, forgive debts.
Yes.
And people go back to their farms and all this kind of stuff. But that isn't a collapse, but the collapse is a sign of judgment. So how does that work?
Yeah, well, what happens is it was originally, again, it was a blessing. But what happened is that Israel pursued other gods and idols and a material gain. And God said, okay, now the Shemitah is going to come by force. So what happens is literally the nation is destroyed and literally the land rests. God says the land will rest because of the Shemitah. So what was meant to be a blessing turns into this sign of that it strikes the financial realm and literally wipes out accounts, because that's what happens with an economic collapse or a financial collapse. The scary thing is that it seems to be getting more and more intense, because in 2000, the year 2001, comes the greatest point crash in American history. It was caused by 9/11, which we're getting to. And when does it happen? It happens on the exact Elul 29 day appointed in the Bible of the day of wiping out accounts, appointed by God, that is a sign of a nation that has turned away from God. But that record lasts for 7 years. In 2008, it's finally broken by the other greatest collapse, the Great Recession.
Right.
Happens September 29th. When they go to Wall Street, they go to ring the bell refuses to ring that morning. Even Wall Street took it as a sign. Yeah. And you have the other greatest collapse in American history, 2008. When does it happen? On the exact same biblical day, Elul 29, the two greatest collapses in American history each happen on the day appointed in the Bible from ancient times, and they are separated by exactly seven Hebrew years, the two down to the day, to the hour, to the minute, to the second. I mean, only God could put that together.
Are we going to have another 50 year anytime soon? You know, the Liberty Bell says proclaim liberty throughout the land.
That's from the Shemitah.
That's right.
And that's from the Jubilee. Yeah, well, the interesting thing is there's a link even with the restoration of the land of Israel, the Balfour Declaration, you know, because the Jubilee is about restoring the land.
Right.
And so that happens right at the time of the Shemitah. And then if you go 50 years later, or you go seven Shemitahs later, you have Jerusalem. You have the restoration of Jerusalem.
Okay.
And now I'm not right. setting dates. And the book has dates, but you know, God can do it. But the next one, the next Shemitah begins again, starts this September. The peak is next September. It always builds up to a thing. And then the 50 year period. Or what would be the Jubilee would be 2016. We begin at the end of the September of 2015.
Will that signal a collapse, an economic collapse first?
I believe, I'm careful about date setting, the point is I do believe we need to be ready, because if you go by the last two, it happened exactly, I mean down to the seconds.
Yeah.
So I believe, well, first of all, it's going to be Well, this is the verse. I believe whenever it comes, I believe a great shaking is coming to this nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, the harbinger is converging to it. The harbingers are continuing. This is, I believe, a great shaking that will involve the financial realm, the economic realm. It will even touch more than that. It can happen. I mean, the exact dates are in September of 2015, you know. Okay. And the other thing is that the Shemitah not only involves the these realms, but also involves the rise of nations, including America. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Shemitah of 1917, America begins its rise, enters World War I. Right. The world history shifts from Europe to America. You have, you know, the Shemitah in Hebrew means collapse. Okay. And fall. So, and also it can mean a rise. So you have the beginning of the rise of America, you have collapse of other nations. If you go four Shemitahs later, you get to the Shemitah of 1945. Another global shaking cataclysm. Mm-hmm. And you have Europe falling, America becomes the superpower. We enter a new age.
Right.
If you go another four Shemitahs, it comes to another pivotal year, which is 1973, which is when America legalizes the killing of its unborn children. The financial realm collapses, and we lose our first war of Vietnam on the exact date that we won the war of World War II.
Incredible.
On the other Shemitah.
Incredible.
And if you go, and on that same year, you have the building of this monument to celebrate America, which is the World Trade Center. If you go another four Shemitahs, it takes you to 2001, the Shemitah of 2001, and which culminates in September of 2001. And the word means, remember, it means collapse.
Yeah.
You have the collapse of the towers that represent America's power, and you have the collapse of Wall Street. And so now we are heading to the next one. And so I do believe we should be ready. I do believe it is wise to prepare, because this thing has affected everything.
Well, this could be a global, you're talking about a global collapse in 2015?
Without setting dates, I believe if it follows the pattern, very likely. I believe no matter what, a great shaking is coming. But it could be, and another interesting fact, just kind of one of the things is, you know, the Bible speaks of the darkening of the sun. You know, now, we're not saying that every time the sun is darkened, but interesting. In 2015, there will be two eclipses of the sun. Each one will mark the Shemitah. One will mark the exact middle center point of it, and the other will mark that Elul 29, the climax. The last time that happened, it was in 1987, when the solar eclipse happened on Elul 29, it led to Black Monday, the worst stock market.
I mean, huge collapse, 500 points of the Dow.
And then the other time it happened around the time was 1931, which when it happened, it ushered in the worst collapse of a month in stock market history. So all these things are converging. And I mean, what it kind of says is, I mean, God is in charge. You know, God is in charge.
Well, you know, the amount of debt that's out there right now in the United States is hideous, and it's around the world. I mean, it's insupportable. And if something like that happened, I mean, it would be a collapse of such epic proportions, we can't contemplate it.
Absolutely. And one of the things I noticed, an economist came to me who saw what I wrote in The Mystery of the Shemitah and said, do you realize that as the debt level of America goes up, that's when this phenomenon of the Shemitah increases, which is exactly biblical, because it wipes away debt, it wipes away credit, wipes away all these things.
Whew.
You know, it literally means collapse. And I believe, and I'll say something for those who are like nervous, you know, I would say, I mean, which
like
some are.
You scared them to death. What do you mean?
Hopefully scare them to life. You know,
but
I would say that if you're afraid, you know, and say, well, safety, and I'm not a financial advisor, you know, but to say that in Hebrew, the word for safety is Yeshua. Mm. And Yeshua is Jesus. And the one safety I can say, make sure you're right with him. He's the only thing that stands and is not shaken.
Yeah.
And I believe that a shaking's coming, but also God is redemptive, that the point is revival. Because I believe without a shaking, I don't believe this nation is coming back, but with a shaking. So God also tells us that God is in control of everything, everything. I mean, mind-boggling so.
Well, if money is our God, which it has become, God will take down the false God, the true God, and show himself strong.
Exactly. I mean, one of the things that happens in the pattern of judgment in the Bible is that it strikes the gods of the nation, or what the nation puts its hope in it, to shake it so that we'd come back to God. And another thing is that there's one of the things in the book called The Mystery of the Towers. And we probably won't have time to get into it, but there's a link in the Bible between the rising of towers and the rising of nations and power. And the interesting, so we've got now, in 2001, you have the collapse of a tower. Well, now we're building this tower
back
in ground zero,
which
is one of the harbingers. And it looks like, and it, you know, the World Trade Center was conceived in the year of the Shemitah, 1945. It was begun building in the year of the Shemitah, 1966. Mm. It was finished the 1973 year of the Shemitah. It was destroyed 2001, the year of the Shemitah. The next tower, this tower that's rising, was also conceived in that last week of 2001 when the leader said, we shall rebuild. Right. And it looks like it may be completed in this year of the Shemitah. I would watch that because it's like the harbingers are converging with this other mystery of the Shemitah. It's saying really, God is God. God is God.
Jonathan, it's an exciting thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I won't take any more out of what he's got in this book, but it's the mystery of the Shemitah. He goes into great detail about the building of towers, the Chrysler Building and the other buildings that were evidence of the strength of America and then the destruction of the World Trade Center. Fascinating, fascinating. You really believe this is going to happen?
I believe no matter what. Yeah. I mean, that's what I would say. The one thing is, I believe we are due for a great shaking, and we should be ready. Now, does it have to happen? Does God have to do it according to the timing plan? He doesn't. He doesn't. But I would say, it says a wise man prepares. Yeah. I would be ready.
Well, if we could have revival, that's what we want. Jonathan, we appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, the mystery of the Shemitah. How do you get this? Is this out now?
This just came out last week. All right. And it seems that this is the first interview I've done since the release because I was sick. So this is the first one. It's always the 700 Club. This is available everywhere, Amazon, Walmart, all around. It just came out. On the day it came out, it became the number 5 book in the world on the planet. And it's actually going stronger than The Harbinger. So it's going forth.
I believe. We introduced The Harbinger earlier this year.
It was September 3rd. That was the release date. You didn't know it, but you just said, do it on September 3rd.
Maybe this is prophetic again.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Jonathan, I
think so.
I love you. I appreciate
I love you
too, man.
Thank you, Pat.
God. On the day it's released, the number 5 book in the world makes me think of Exodus 20:30. You shall have no other gods before me. God is a jealous God, and anything that we lift up as an idol will be taken down. Mm-hmm. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about some of the prophetic words the Lord has even given to us regarding the financial collapse and things that are coming in our near future, lest something changes, lest the church repents. But this is what God is just showing, and it's amazing to see the chorus of words that are all kind of converging at this one moment. Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. And you're looking at what Jonathan Kahn is describing as a financial collapse, a resetting, if you will, something that was started to be a blessing turned into a curse because nations turned their back on God. And my goodness, are we not seeing that right now?
Yeah.
And it gets me to think about some of the things that the Lord has showed us. I think about the prophetic vision that Greg saw when he saw all the paper money being sucked up from the earth, and it was like a funnel. It was formed like a mountain, and then all of a sudden, all the money starts burning up. And I was like, well, that's interesting. That's interesting. And I think about the dream that the Lord gave me regarding in the stock market, when the reporter says that the world, as you know, it's going to be over in 6 minutes. I'm headed to work. I'm in this dream, and I'm going past a group of fellow colleagues that are sitting around, actually standing around a television screen, and the reporter's about to break news. He's about to break news, and he's standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and all the stock brokers are all standing still, and which I thought was pretty remarkable because my dad was a stock market. So, I'm seeing this. I'm realizing something's different. Something's happening here.
You don't see it sitting still like that.
Exactly. Never stay still. And the reporter says, in just a few minutes, I'm about to share something. But I don't want you to panic. And when he said that, in the dream, I already knew what he was about to share. And so I go quickly to get my things at my desk because I'm getting ready to leave. And as I'm getting ready to walk past, he's getting ready to share now what he's about to share. And he says, the world as you know it is going to be over in 6 minutes.
Wow.
In 6 minutes. And the number 6 means idol. That's what it means. It means an idol. And so it's like, wow, right there from the place where America has made, a god, an idol, money from the stock market, from the stock market represents money. it's going to be over as we know it. And then, you know, start telling everyone, go to the torch, go to BFNTV.com. And this is what we've been doing. We've been kind of sharing about, listen, this is what God is showing us. But then I think about Rick Joyner, not too long ago, about maybe 2 years ago, was talking about a financial reset that the Lord showed him. He actually used the word collapse, and he was kind of a little bit hesitant, and he was kind of like, well, I think it could be a collapse, and it looks like there's going to be a financial reset. He said, start all over. Mm-hmm. And this was a couple of years ago. And then now, most recently, in the month of July, they took the whole month as a sabbatical, and the Lord showed him some very interesting things that we're going to be covering here soon. Stay tuned this week to VFN TV, because we're going to be sharing some really just amazing things the Lord has made available to us. But one of the things that he shares is regarding how the Lord showed him the world is about to go through hell. That's mm-hmm. what Rick Joyner says. Yet it's going to be some of the worst of times and some of the best of times. And we want to encourage you that, listen, if you are participating in God's economy, if you are participating in what the Lord has established, you are going to be okay. It's not a time for the church to be fretful. Mm-hmm. It's not a time for us to be biting our fingernails and scared. Right. Like a pastor said, scare them to life. Not scared to death, scared to life. Because the only safety net, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And the only safety net that anyone has is Jesus. Jesus will not be shaken. And so we want to encourage you to now more than ever, the way that Jonathan Kahn sees it and how it's been revealed to him is that this was going to crescendo mm-hmm. next year in the month of September. And I can't help to think how all of this coincides and all again converges with we're right in the was it 15-month period of the four blood moons? Is it 15 or 18 months?
18 months.
18 yeah. months mm-hmm. of the four blood moons. This is right there in the middle climax. Of it.
Yep.
And I want to tell you, listen, it's not a time to be fretful. It's a time to, listen, if Jesus is not Lord, this is the time to make him the Lord right. of your life. And to honor him with what he's given you. Mm-hmm.
And it's so powerful too, because, you know, what Jonathan Kahn was saying is just that, you know, God is in control and God is able to get a message out to a nation, and God is speaking. And I think what is so encouraging about that is, you know, what would you say to those who, you know, who are fearful and, you know, biting their fingernails? And it's so powerful what he said. He's like, in Hebrew, the word safety is Yeshua. Mm. And it's like you hear all these words and you hear about what we're talking about and you hear about the prophetic dreams, and it's just like God is speaking to you right now. It's like if you're listening, it's not an accident that you're listening to this. It's like God wants you to be part of his economy, like you're talking about, John. And it's just like when we see these disasters, when we flip on the news channel, we can very quickly see things horizontally. But God has a purpose for this. And when we begin to look at it vertically, and it's just like, God, what are you doing with this? And it's just like God's wanting to clean house. God's wanting to bring purity back to the bride for his son, because all of this is for a church that's going to be presented to his son.
Yeah.
And God has a purpose for this. And it's just like, oh my goodness, God is speaking to me. And just like you're saying, it's just like, this is not a time to really get fretful or just, you know, fearful, but it's just like, this is God.
Yeah.
This is, God has something greater that's going on than what we can see horizontally.
Sure. And it's sure. also the time to let those that we know, friends, family, mm-hmm. neighbors that don't know God, and to warn them yeah. of the things that are about to come, so that they can get a realization of, hey, listen, God is real. Mm-hmm. Things are not going to go on as usual. And I think a lot of times people get caught up in just what's happening, and they think that because they don't see an immediate judgment upon their sin in their life, they don't see the consequences necessarily yeah. immediate, that God's winking at what's happening, or God forgot, or God's overlooking, or even weirder still, that they have some sort of special agreement with God, that God will overlook what's going on. And God doesn't overlook anything. Don't mistake God's patience with the fact that he's closed his eyes. His patience is his love for you, giving you time to repent, giving you time to turn. And what I've experienced is that at the time of when judgment comes, a lot of times people are not focusing they miss the fact that this was judgment. They go into survival mode. And so, you know, devastation comes, tornado, what have you, and maybe in that case it happened to do with a judgment, let's say, in their life. They quickly forget about, you know, they never ask the question, it appears, sometimes, like, did I do anything to bring this upon, or did I? It's always something else, or they write it off. And I think a healthy question is to ask, hey, did I participate in this? Did I do anything that could cause this to happen? And that we can search our hearts now and say, hey, listen, I want to get it right. But also, it's important to recognize and to pray that out of a tragedy, that out of something that could look on the surface as a horrible thing, we can turn to God and believe for an awesome third great awakening, a revival that will sweep not only the country, but the world. Listen, we are poised. We are desperately needing a move of God like never before. And this is a perfect opportunity for one.
That's right.
I mean, there's always...
You know, if there ever was one.
Yeah, exactly. Every day's a good day for a move of God, you know? But if there ever was a moment, our nation really needs God. And it's going to be his mercy that pours an outpouring out upon us. And that's been prophesied and shared too. So... again, some of the best of times, some of the worst of times, and you want to be right when those times come. You know, we want to encourage you also that to get prudent preparation. You want to be wise. You want to prepare for these things. You want to prepare financially. You want to prepare physically, because the Lord shows it's going to be a physical battle. You want to prepare mentally and emotionally for the things that you will be facing, but most importantly, you want to prepare spiritually. And you got to ask the question to yourself. I love what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. He who is wise, a wise man, a wise woman, gives thought to their ways. You got to ask yourself, where am I today? If it was all said and done, and today was my last day, where would I spend eternity? Where would I spend eternity? And I think, for many people, especially in this country, the United States, have taken their eyes off of God and have put their eyes on themselves and on money and the things that money can get them. And I want to tell you that today is a great day to say, you know what? I'm going to put my eyes back on the Lord. This stuff doesn't satisfy. I am away from God. I need him, and I want to make him the Lord of my life. I want to encourage you to do that today.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.